Happy Friday, beautiful people. Happy Veterans Day weekend, beautiful people. Salute to everyone who has served in our military, protecting our country, protecting the Constitution. And, you know, much love for you. As a fellow veteran of the United States Army Reserve, I salute you to everyone who made those sacrifices for us. In the studio, my comrade, Big Rob, the general is in the building. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing just dandy, sir. And you?
All right. I like those Jamaican colors you got on. A Rasta man today. He's a Rastafarian. Are those the Rasta colors? Let him see what you got on, brother. There you go. Oh, soul of a king.
King of the jungle.
King of the jungle. Heart of a lion, mind of a god, soul of a king. He is in the building. Looking good, man.
Thank you, sir.
Where you get that from?
A lot of compliments from this, man. From the place you showed me. You
remember, that one place. I'm not going to give no free advertising. They online. right. In the studio with us, the reigning champ himself, one of the senior Democrats in Muskegon County, our Muskegon County Commissioner, Charles Nash. Welcome to the show, brother.
How Thank you, PA. Appreciate you.
All right.
And Big Rob.
Yes, sir.
Man, it was a battle Tuesday night.
Yeah.
A slugfest.
That's putting it lightly.
Have you ever been challenged like that in your seat?
No. Well, yeah, we have been. Back in 2016, we had kind of the same situation, and certain people got knocked off. I was lucky at that time because I had a good district, which I knew was going to turn out for me, and it was highly democratically populated. So I made it through that one, but it crushed a lot of different people on different parts of the party. So that's what my whole fear was with this election was, here we go again. And a lot of people kept saying, oh, don't worry, you got it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to say that because I've seen this happen before. So you never know what kind of sneak attack is happening.
Right. And
I saw a lot of organization behind the scenes and I was like, whew, they got their thing a little bit tighter than we do, you know, but we were lucky and blessed. A lot of us still came out in the end and was glad to see that.
So the county commissioner is still controlled by Democrats.
Yes. Yes.
In spite of the fact that Donald Trump won Muskegon County.
Correct.
How did
that was the difference last time. Last time Donald Trump won the county, but this time he did not win the county. And that was the blessing for us. So there was some organization. There was a lot of push to get out that vote. And a lot of people were determined. But, you know, we can only speak for Muskegon County. We can't speak for the rest of the state and all the other, you know, battleground states.
Yeah. What does this mean for Muskegon County politics, Muskegon County county commissioners?
Well, for the local commission, you know, and, talk with a commissioner, too, and I'm saying, and they're saying the same thing, you know, at least now we can continue on with the same work. We don't have to worry about the board being changed and everything else being changed because we kind of put some things in motion at the start of the year, this past year, that we want to try to continue on with, especially when it comes to, you know, housing and sustainability and different things of that sort. We've got some new hiring process or departments and hiring things that are going to be happening. So we wanted to continue on with those without having a whole new board and a whole new change. And that kind of flusters everybody through all departments and you know, positions. So yeah, we get to continue some of the work that we started and we're hoping to continue to do good work. And I think that's what that vote was about. I think people like what we've been doing and what we've been trying to do. And I think they remember what happened last time, because when we had that swing and that board change, it got real disruptive in Muskegon County. And we was making a lot of crazy headlines over partisan, you know, junk. But now, you know, we don't have that. And I think it's going to even pull us together a little bit more to work a little bit more across party lines and make things happen for the community.
Wow. Any shockers for you in this past election cycle?
No, I like I say, the only thing I'm shocked is that we all pulled it out because, like I said, I'm seeing this happen before and I'm like, oh boy, here come that wave. We in trouble. But, you know, in the end, you know, the people spoke. And I can tell you because same day vote was killing us. Same day vote was killing us. But absentee brought us back. Absentee ballots brought us back.
Wow. in the studio of Charles Nash, County Commissioner. Are you still going to be chairperson of the County Commission?
Well, that depends on the board, because the board is going to have to start over, and we're going to have to make an organizational agreement. And, you know, we'll see if the commissioners still agree with me being chair.
How long have you been chair?
This will be my first time as chair in this 2-year term. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to 4 years. So we'll see if, you know, if I'm reelected, if we want to do 4-year term, or if we want to do a 2-year term, we get to make decisions on how we want that to go. Because usually the vice chair is reelected every year. The chair would stay for 2 years, but now with it being four.
So this is a 4-year term now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So you good.
Yeah.
For so 4 years.
The state. Yeah. Oh. You know, all I kept thinking about was, man, I don't have to campaign in another year.
Right.
That is music wow. to my ears.
How did that happen?
The state.
The state.
The state finally made the change. And I think it was probably more Democratic leadership that said, hey, you know, we need to make this change. And
wow.
It'll be better for everybody.
So the whole state now, all the county commissioners.
Every county commission in the whole state would have 4-year terms now.
I think that's better. 2 years.
Yeah. And I learned that myself because, you know, we even had more of a new board with the redistricting. And when you see the redistricting happen with so many new people, I've seen that there was time we need to develop and grow this board because everybody's new. And you can't pick it all up in a year that fast. So by the time you get in your second year, you're trying to campaign,
you know, you gotta campaign.
And you still learning, you know, where you're trying to go. So yeah. It's good to have people that's there consistently for 4 years, because at least you're not changing every two, and every time you turn around, you got different direction, different people, different views. And so that makes quite of a different mess. But getting everybody back, like I said, we started some things. Everybody's growing. We're developing together and learning how to work together. And I think we're going to be able to do that a little bit more and much better, you know, with this term.
Wow. Anything, Rob? I got a premium.
Oh, yeah. The county. How's the county doing?
Actually, the county is doing well. We've had, you know, some different ups and downs and adversities we have to deal with. But I think we've made the adjustments to make those things happen because, you know, we had to do this wage study, which was quite a effort to make sure, because we're in competition with other communities because these wage things are becoming a big issue. But I think we made quite a big effort in trying to make sure that those things happen, make us more competitive, so we stop losing so many people and maybe draw some people in also. Mm.
Well, during this election cycle, there were political action committees out there, Democratic side, Republican side. What kind of influence do you feel that they might have had on the outcome of the election?
Well, I think everybody was trying to drive home their points about what they needed. And I'll tell you the one thing that I learned in just paying attention to people and paying attention to news. I think what we have to do is make sure we pay attention to people. The people and what they want and what their views are, because there was so much, you know, everybody's barking at each other about their points and this and that. But I think the key to winning people over is not only making your points, but learning to listen. And I think that's something that we kind of lost a little bit as a party, and making sure we listen to people and their concerns, because I think a lot of Democrats are taking this very hard. A lot of people, individuals, you know, it's almost personal.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. I think Rob saw that. Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, you know, you win some, you lose some. But I think the biggest point is, you know, we're so busy trying to get across that we're also not listening. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we lost people to the other side, where they're trying to share their views and why they feel the way they do. And we're just on our stump, you know, trying to get our point across instead of just listening and saying, yeah, you know, I can empathize with what you think and how you feel, but I don't really know if I ain't listening.
21% black men voted for Donald Trump on the Republican side. What were they saying when you talked to black men? What are they saying to you?
Well, when I talked to most folks, they were saying, yeah, you know, Kamala, but then a lot of them were saying, you know, was she the best pick, you know? what could have been somebody else. And then you talk to some voters and they say, why didn't she take Shapiro instead of something, you know? And then what I'm hearing across both lines, black, white, you know, Hispanic, whatever, some people just saying, you know what? I don't care what you guys say. I like him. You know, he say what he want to say and he mean what he say and he do what he want to do. And it throws me, but you know what? That's what they were on. You know, it didn't matter how much you argued about it, but they're like, but that's okay. I like him. I just like him. He just say what he would say. He ain't following the crowd. He doing right. His own thing. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to come to understand it. You know, sometimes how you feel ain't necessarily how everybody else feel. And sometimes the way you think ain't how everybody else thinks. So one guy told me a long time ago, he said, it's not so important that you understood, but it's more important that you understand. And right. So that's where I think sometimes we just got to do more understanding than trying to get our point across.
I know. What, go ahead, Rod.
And I don't care how you package a person. I don't think myself, Paul, or Obama could get away with saying the things that he has said.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the problem. You know, I could say the exact same thing he stated,
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be looked upon as a angry black man.
Mm-hmm.
The double standard.
It's the double standards that's it for me. Okay, yeah, I believe in politicians being upfront and truthful. And if politicians are upfront and truthful, if you've never been in that seat, whether it's the president of the United States, city commission, county commission, mayor, chief of police, whatever, if you've never been in that seat, you don't know what that seat brings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's mm-hmm. just my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know. I don't know what Paul has to go through dealing with payroll mm-hmm. and stuff, even though, you know, I'm his assistant. I don't know what his worries really are, you know. So for somebody to say something as, you know, immature to me as that a person, they like what a person is saying. No, you like the package that's saying.
Maybe the package, maybe this be devil's advocate, his package was better package than the Democrat side for the black men. Because obviously 21% is one out of five black men.
But he didn't even have a package. That's the problem.
It's probably that the Democrats probably didn't have a package that was talking to them. And well, they probably felt
she eventually did, but it was late.
Oh my God, it was late. That was a good package. The 20,000,
it was really late.
Yeah.
And you didn't hear a lot of black guys talking about it. Because it was so
late. Maybe they didn't believe it.
They might have been just locked in for so long already that this late news didn't make a difference.
I think she did good only having 107 days.
That's a lot.
I think she did.
Short time. Yeah.
If she had had more time,
she can't hold her head down.
Nah.
Right. Yeah. Maybe she could have readjusted. Because even, you know, in this political forum, sometimes you got to readjust, you know. Hmm. And
I'm going to tell you who I feel for. I feel for our black women. And I feel for our black women because when you start looking at different people I talk to, people on social media, they were just crushed because they felt like it was them.
Mm.
You know, and you know, black women are behind white women, every other woman, never mind behind the men. So they feel like they have to work extra hard just to even get somewhere up in the ladder. And when you seen this happen, they were just crushed. And I just seen people in tears. I seen people upset. And I seen a lot of them just angry. And they was disappointed. I saw one post, the lady was talking about how she was just, all she did was cry all morning.
Wow.
And she did a post where she was trying to put her makeup on and all she kept crying, had to keep redoing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just feel, you know, this feeling coming from our black women that felt like it was them.
All over the country, black women did win. In Orlando, Florida, Monique Royale, who was taken out of office by Governor DeSantis, who appointed Andrew Bain, who did a great job in the interim time. I got a chance to know him, Andrew Bain, but the people voted Monique back in office in spite of the fact that Andrew Bain, he was able to get like maybe $2.5 million worth of advertising from outsiders against her. But this black woman won. There are other testimonies around the country. We've seen a first black, I think a senator out of Maryland or something like that. One of the, that won. So I wouldn't internalize it. We salute Vice President Harris for taking up on this challenge.
Yeah. And women were very black women were very instrumental in electing Joe Biden.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very instrumental in electing Joe Biden. So, and I'm not saying that that's the reality of all of black women. I just felt like the more I kept hearing, the more I kept seeing, you could see how crushed a lot of them were.
Yeah.
And they took it personal. And I think it was more like, why couldn't they support us like we supported them? And, you know,
that's become some disconnect. Like here in Muskegon, I was using Muskegon as a prime example. That was a women's group that was opposing one of the most prominent black men in the history of Muskegon. Judge Pittman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that right there is a divisive thing. If you and we cannot deny the legacy that he has had in this community.
No, no.
And to find that this man is being lied upon and pretty much demonized, inhumanized by women who are Democrats, you got to think that creates some division too.
Yeah.
And so it goes both ways. And I'm not sure if that women's group would do that to a white man. I don't know if I've seen it.
They haven't.
Maybe. So it go both
ways. Well, I ain't going to say that. I just say any women's group, and no, not, they just feel like, again, you think about black women, how they feel so far behind everybody else. And even women in its own right feel so far behind everybody else that they're willing to challenge any male. And that's the thing that gets me, because I'm not against women. But my whole thing is if you have a better candidate that's a male, then, and you just post somebody just because she's female, I don't think that's right.
No,
got to have the right candidate, the best candidate. But to just say she's better because she's female, I mean, that's reversal of what you're trying to get away from.
Right. And to oppose somebody just because they're male, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We got some comments.
They don't want us to do it to them.
Yeah. We got some comments.
Right.
Because they're female.
Jamie Green said, if you want to be part of the collective mission to help women strive for generations, please join us. If you're aware of events, especially a national march, January the 18th, join and see what you think. William Kitchen said, Democrats didn't have a package this cycle that was believable. They force fed us their choice and didn't equip her with the right mechanics. We love black women, but tired of the support failure of the party. I can say this, John, you're a Democrat. A lot of black men did not like transgender boys playing in sports for girls. And I don't know if that's a Democratic thing or a Republican thing, but it came out, it was targeted in packages as if your party supported that, even though the federal law has been there for the prisoners part. That part has been in there.
But see, I haven't even delved into that, because I think a lot of that was really blown out of proportion.
It helped, though.
I think it was more talking about health care, and you're right. But it got posted as if she particularly changed something when she wasn't really in charge. So she particularly changed something a bit. And I think that's the point of taking sound bites and piecing them together.
But
and
no it response, sounds all though, good. No response, though.
Like, and they sometimes, left out there. I mean, in this short of time, she had to get that message out that we was talking about. She was trying to get that new package out about what she had for the black community and every community, really, because she tried to clean that up, too, because I know some people say, well, why is this just for the black folks? But anytime you say it's for us, it's really for everybody. Because Obama did the same thing, and he said, you know what? I can put it out here, but I can't make you go do it. So he was letting us know he had some packages that were for us, but everybody was eligible. But we had to be knowledgeable enough to understand what was out there and be able to go access it and go get it. But a lot of times what happened was there was people that just didn't look like us that was accessing those things because they knew how, and they followed up on it. And we got to know how, and we got to follow up on it, too.
Yeah.
And but I think, again, all that was so late, 107 days, you know, and you're trying to get packages out at the left. But I do like the fact that even with that short time, she had one. And never once did you get one from the other side. I never once heard a plan for us as black men. I never seen one really as a plan for us as a country. So to me, I thought, you know, it was just crazy how we were voted for something that didn't even have a package.
And even if it's,
I got a comment online for Jamie Green. So that's a sick, silly argument. It's alarmist and inflammatory and basically mean. Jamie, black men are tired to their opinion, just like you are tired to yours. And I think we should not discount that just because you might feel one way, feel the other. That's how they felt. We're talked to them.
And that's what I was saying earlier. You know, it's not a point of me discarding what they believe and what they think. I'm saying I can have my opinion just like they can have their opinion. And just because I feel like mine is better, it don't mean theirs isn't for them. Right. It's everybody's perception and everybody's reality. I just had this conversation with a few of my, you know, students that's in my class, and we was talking about the exact same thing. And they were finally agreeing. We were all agreeing. Your perception is your perception, and that don't mean it's wrong. Right. That's what you believe, and that's what you see. Just like mine is mine. Don't mean I'm wrong, but in my reality, this is what I think is right.
But really, did you know, this is the way I see things. You know, I'm mixed. My mother was white. My father was black. And what I see in a lot of this is that if a black president is in office, he can't really do too much for black people. But a white man in office can do a whole lot for black people because that black man can't. Now, I may be wrong, but I want to see what Trump does for black people. A lot of black people in Detroit, that's where I grew up at, they didn't want to see Kwame Kilpatrick out at all.
Mm-hmm.
But who got him out?
Jim Clyburn and Donald Trump in office. Jim Clyburn worked behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with people, rappers. Kodak Black, who got him out?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Could Obama have done that? I don't think so without a whole lot of backlash.
Well, he could have did it in his second term.
Right. Yeah. You know. But he still would have had backlash.
Yeah.
The Obamas.
Maybe the Republicans just don't care about backlash, and Democrats are more
conservative about the backlash.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what a lot of young black guys that I talk to, that's what they like. The fact that they just say what they want to say and they do what they want to do.
And keep rolling.
And I'm cool with that.
Right.
Right.
But like I said, you got to look at that package.
He's got felonies and all that. He's like, look, I'm in prison. I don't care anyway. And these guys that can't vote, but they throwing all their support behind him. But this is some of these younger guys out here also that are saying, hey, man, this is what I like. But it's a whole new generation and they got a whole different perspective. And we got to be able to listen because that's some of their issue they have with us. It's like y'all too busy telling us everything instead of listening to.
Right.
William Kitchen says, why can't they specifically identify packages and legislation for the LGBT community, the Asian community, Pacific Islander community, but shy away from discussing what they would do specifically for a black agenda? Does the Democratic Party? You know, I hate to put you on the spotlight. You don't speak for the Democratic Party.
Not at all. Not at all.
Maybe have you heard about a black agenda for the Democratic Party?
You talking about the local agenda? I mean, the local party.
Maybe local. Yeah.
No, I mean, and that's something we always seem to have to fight for, also because there was a few heavy discussions this past season about the support for the Heights. And it took people that look like us to keep fighting these battles and keep speaking up on these things. Mm-hmm. And that's how you've seen some of these supports that came out to the community where the office became out in the Heights. And, you know, then you got all the, you know, this team got built up in the Heights, you know, because of support, because it takes money to make some of this stuff happen.
Right.
And so you can't pay for an office, you know, on dreams. You have to be able to pay for it with cash. So you need an office, you need phones, you need, you know, documents, you need all kinds of stuff to make all this work. And you have to get that support. And over the years, that support had dwindled. Mm. But this year it kind of got a lot of folks, you know, pushing and shoving behind it. And you always have to get some comrades too, because it ain't just us that's going to make it happen. So you have to get some people that don't look like you, but got influence with the party, and those things happen. And then we saw things start to happen in Muskegon Heights.
And you know, if for me locally, mm-hmm. we have not had a black sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
We have never had a black chief of police in Muskegon Police Department.
Mm-hmm. Got one in North Muskegon.
Got one in North Muskegon who applied for Muskegon mm-hmm. Police Department.
I'll talk to you about that off air.
But I'm just saying, what is the Democratic Party doing locally for blacks? Because we got one black judge, one.
Well, okay, let me say this. The biggest problem we have with anybody in leadership is we never really get anybody that's qualified, that steps up to the plate to do that.
Okay, I got to disagree with you with that, because there has been qualified black people
that stepped up and ran.
That stepped up.
You're talking about political positions, like running for sheriff.
Sheriff and
sheriff
stuff.
See,
the sheriff is not appointed. The sheriff is elected.
Is elected. Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
So no, we haven't had.
But even think about this: if I know I'm not going to win, then why am I going to put all this money behind it and go in taking the chance that I'm not going to win? It's just like Tony Tagg to me. You know, because black people went in and just hit straight ticket. That's mm-hmm. how he kept going in. But they're calling us complaining about what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a way. And I want to find out how he's voting now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we already know. But, you know,
but it's like.
Yeah, he's retired now. He probably ain't voting. Right.
But I'm just saying, what is the Democratic Party, in my opinion, doing in this county to get. Attract more black people here for these positions that are in there. You look at that county building, you just look at it one day. Walk in there and look at the county.
He's county commissioner.
No, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I can tell you this. As far as the party, that's not one of the positions that they highly position themselves into trying to make happen. Even with the county, it's been a battle over the years, because I've been there, you know, over a decade, and I've been harping on this since I got in there. But the truth is, we have a lack of candidates, lack of variety, you know, because sometimes you might get one, but you already know it ain't gonna work. And I'm not knocking us. I'm just saying we just don't get that kind of leadership or dedication, because I'm always telling, you know, when we have openings, especially for major positions that we need to have some effective change in,
right.
I'm always saying, you know, let's hit that that National Black Network over here, and let's make sure so we're always getting, even if we use a consultant, it's like I want to make sure that we're connecting with these black resources also.
Right.
And not just because that's the only thing that's going to make it right, but we need an opportunity. I need to be able to have some ideas, and they need to be able to have ideas and picks. And I can't just push this black agenda and ain't nobody showing up.
Right.
So we got to get people to actually show up. And then we also, you know, with the young people,
I agree with you there.
We got to get young people trained up to be able to take these things down the road, because people have to be in that position. But if we're not training them to be in that position, because matter of fact, I can tell you one right now. It's a very close friend, and we've been talking a little bit. And I'm saying, listen, I can put you in a position where you could actually be pretty strong for this position that may come up, you know, down the road here.
Down the road.
But I need you to get into this training. I need you to get into this tutelage and take this mentor. And if you do those things, you got a good shot, you know. Now I'm not giving it to you, but you got to work at it, and I think you can bring people to to generally say, hey, this is a good candidate. Wow. You know, we had a young brother from the city that came at us about the housing thing. And be honest with you, you know, it was kind of controversial, but it helped us open it back up and give them a different chance. And it might open it up for some other people also. So that's the thing, is we got to compete too. We don't just get stuff. We got to compete for it.
Gotta be ready.
As long as we're ready and we, you know, bring in the shine at the, in the best, you know, character, knowledge, wisdom, why not select that person? You know,
heart-to-heart conversation with County Commissioner Charles Nash. Good brother. I'm glad we can sit down and have these conversations. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You are the highest ranking Democrat, you know, on the county commission right now. And you're very, very influential person. Question. There's a stigma out there that the Republican Party is racist. If you voted for the Republican Party or you voted for Donald Trump, you are supporting a racist. What is your opinion about that?
Well, see, and that's the thing that's really kind of throwing me with some of these different conversations, like I said. Because honestly, you know, a couple weeks ago, I might have felt that way. Mm-hmm. But after I saw this election, I said there was no way that I made my comeback just by us only. Right. So there had to be some people that didn't look like me that might have voted for Donald Trump, but also said, you know what, but I like Nash better. So I'm going to vote for him instead of this other guy or this other person. So that right there told me, especially with all of us winning as Dems, and I'm sure there was a lot of Dems in there, but I know it wasn't all.
Right.
And it was some people that just said, you know what, I'd rather have, because after 216, they realized, hey, we kind of screwed up this whole county. And
nothing got done. Yeah.
And so things were all jacked up, but I think people had better sense and decided, I'm, you know, split my ticket a little bit this time. And I was kind of proud of that. And that tells me you can't vote for a person like me and sit and say this person is prejudiced, right?
Right.
So, you know, that kind of blows that out the water as it is. But a lot of people of color feel like anybody voting for Donald Trump is just racist. And I heard people say, you know what? I'm blocking all my friends that voted for Donald Trump because they racist. And I'm like, you know, I understand your strong feelings and I'm not knocking you for it. If you
want to
block them, you go right ahead. But my thing is don't just put everybody in the same bubble, you know, because we don't want somebody just saying all black men do this,
right.
You know, all black men do that. And all white folks are not racist. I ain't gonna say it. Some of them are. I'm just saying all white folks are not racist.
Yeah, because if they were, we wouldn't have the freedoms that we have right now. And that's just honest to God truth. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna be honest about everything,
it's gonna be a while to heal, and I'm definitely praying for our community, our sisters. Please don't feel like that vote was against y'all. Because it wasn't. Black women around the country did good in a lot of places.
Oh yeah, a lot of different places. Up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, how can the Democratic Party not have agenda for us when they come for our votes every election cycle? They cater to black populists for votes, but have nothing for us. Coming to talk to us about Camilla, but won't come talk to us about housing, employment, and economic growth is crazy to me. Thank you for that feedback. Mr. Nash, good people. They love you. We know that. One of our own, born and raised here, decided to stay here. Before we go, let people know what you do, because you're a county commissioner part-time, even though you got the title.
Right.
You got a full-time gig.
Yeah. I was telling somebody that the other day. I said, man, you know, I've been working darn near two jobs since about 2006. Doing community work and county work, you know, and actually 2009, because that's when I started at the county. But it's been a two job thing all the time. And so when I was thinking I might not win, I'm sitting here trying to figure out how I'm going to fill this extra time I got when I'm not doing all this.
You actually doubted you were going to win?
Well, at first I thought maybe the count was over. But then something told me, said, maybe it's not quite done. But I just left it alone. I said, let me get myself ready just in case we don't pull this out, you know.
Wow.
And so I had got in that mode, and I was even talking to my daughters, and I was saying, hey, and they trying to console me. I'm like, don't worry about me. I said, I'm going to have to make some changes. We're going to figure it out. But then after we got off the phone, I said, let me check it one more time. And it was about 5:30. And I seen everything had flipped. And I was like, wow. I had to really double check to make sure I wasn't sleepy and seeing it wrong. But then yeah, I realized, I'm morning. Like, hey, that was right. I said, we won. I said, couldn't believe that, you know. So I was real thankful that people had enough faith to continue to keep supporting me and some of the other Dems. And I think that was important for the county. So we can get back to business as usual and keep trying to do the best for this community. And that's, I think, all our agendas are about, trying to make sure we do the best for this county.
Well, congratulations.
We appreciate you guys.
You got a lot on your shoulders.
And I always appreciate y'all's support and efforts for the community. Yes, it's big.
Thank you. 22 years. All right, family. That was County Commissioner Charles Nash. Support him. Connect with him on Facebook. I know those county commissioner meetings don't be packed, but you need to go down there and see what's going on.
And that's one key you just mentioned. That's the thing. You talk about the party and this and that. Nobody shows up. Even the county board meetings, half the time, nobody's showing up. So you really want to get some change. You got to show up, you know, and you got to get other people to show up with you. So yeah, that's what moves the needle.
All right. Going back to my music, Afternoon Jams.